Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go, and let's get started fast here because we want to talk football with Ross, but also hear about the Washington press box food. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide.
Can we get through it?
For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Ross, let's before the movie comes out about your tweet on the Washington press box food, can we please have your story?
Yeah, well, like, was this an escalation of some sort of adversarial situation right. You've got going with them?
Was this a revenge tweet?
Or was this just out of nowhere?
So here's the deal, okay? I am the world's foremost expert on press box food, and I created the genre that is press box food videos and posting them and evaluating them. Now, I typically will present without comment unless it's really, really good. And last night, I just went through the line like I always do, and that was what was going on in Washington. Now, I will say after the video, I did have a representative of the cafeteria staff or whatever, dining staff, tell me that the hot dogs, the empty hot dog tray and the empty pizza roll tray were already there because that's what they serve at halftime. And that they had run out of mac and cheese, but they were making more, and mac and cheese would be there soon. So,
was this a 9-year-old's birthday party?
What we did have available was the nachos.
With the broken chips.
I'm calling it. Nachos.
Right.
Nachos.
Nacho bar.
And I actually thought the sliced turkey wasn't that bad. I'm not, you know, picky. Now, I'm not going to put them in my top five. Or 10, or 15, or 20, or 25. But, I posted that. So, I had the sliced turkey. I will say they did have some additional, candy, like Starburst, and chocolate peanut butter cups, which I appreciated. So, I posted the video. It's very interesting because I happen to know someone on the commander's communications department. And so in the first quarter, I get a text. Ross, did you happen to catch us during a transition period?
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know. I was told what I just told you guys, that the mac and cheese would be on its way and that the pizza rolls and hot dogs were for halftime. But I don't discriminate. You know, if it's phenomenal, like the Houston Texans or Dallas Cowboys or whatever, I post a video. I may share excitement if that's the case. For the Commanders, I said nothing negative. I just went through very matter of fact. And so I will say this, in a credit to the Commanders, I would say about 5 minutes before halftime, all of a sudden, into our booth, my producer says, Ross, thank you for posting that video. I said, why? He said, they just brought a whole platter of sushi to the booth. So they went to one of the luxury boxes or one of the suites, and they brought down a whole platter of sushi, which was pretty darn good.
They ripped the sushi out of the suite to give to you.
So what I will say is now I know what it's like to be like a true blue food critic. I mean, you'd be amazed how seriously some of the teams take it. The Houston Texans sent me the team cafeteria menu for Friday on Thursday. They handed me the menu for Sunday on Friday, and they made it clear to my CBS producer that they are really hoping to be number one this year. Like, that's something that they've talked about, and it's important to them. And I'll be the first person to admit I'd be a terrible, like, movie or food critic, because I can absolutely be bribed. There's no hesitation in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not really bribing me. It's just going the extra mile to get my vote, to get my ranking. And you know what? I appreciate that. What do you think restaurants do when a food critic goes there? You know, what do you think any place does when someone that has some level of audience or reach or whatever and is known for something comes? They don't want to be laughed at, right? It's not. And I've always said this, guys. I've been consistent about this. It is a reflection on the organization. It is. I mean, like, you're either the type of organization on some level that doesn't care about details and really doesn't care about the media and wants to treat them poorly or whatever, which, by the way, is fine. I just always thought that was silly because you're representing the organization, the city, everything. And by the way, if the team is terrible, they're going to say it. If the team's great, they're going to say it. There's a lot of middle ground there, guys. I mean, if it's a close loss, but man, those cheesesteaks were good, I might treat you a little bit better. And I'm not saying it's conscious. It's probably subconscious. But I am, after all, a human being that likes to eat food.
Before we met and had you on every week, and this is like 10 years ago maybe, before the Bills got pretty, Bulldog and I would sit in the press box with like four other guys and predict what lunch would be. And it was always themed off the other team.
Right.
And there was going to be one thing that you didn't know what it was. They didn't always have the little cards to tell you what it was, like some sort of orange something, mush, pasta, sweet potato, marshmallow. Like, we would do that every week. But I never had the nerve to, like, you know, it's hard enough sometimes, you know.
Right,
it was a team
right.
on a 17-year playoff drought. I didn't want to come
they didn't
in here
us
and bang
on about the food, right?
No, no.
It's not.
And apparently it's a lot better. You've been here. You would say that, I think. But
no, and this is actually, you know, this is actually an age-old debate for me. You know, there's a school of thought that, hey, we have this team coming from this city.
Right.
So let's do something that they do. You know, it's the Saints. Let's do gumbo. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Bills. Let's do wings. And then so that's sometimes what home teams do. And I guess what you're doing there is you're really trying to placate to the local media, because the away media, whether it's someone national like me or the visiting team, the last thing someone from New Orleans wants is like gumbo in Buffalo.
Is that gumbo made in Orchard Park? Right. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Gumbo in Buffalo, right? Or whatever, right? And so, and someone national like me, like, I'm going to Buffalo. I want wings. Now, I will say I love that the Bills will send an email out the day before, and it'll have the menu, because that allows me to plan my time in the city. That's really critical, because I think some thought process is, you know what? They probably had wings last night, or they probably had wings for lunch, so we don't need to do wings again. And I understand that. I really do think, though, that every team should have multiple options. They should have a rotating option, and then they should have what they're known for.
Yep.
Kansas City should have barbecue. The Bills should have wings. But then have something else, and if someone lives in Buffalo and they don't want wings because they have wings all the time, then they eat the something else. But there's a lot of people from the other team, other city, there's a lot of national people. We're in Buffalo. We would like wings. We're in Kansas City. We would like barbecue. We don't want Kansas City to show that they can make fish like they're Seattle. We don't want that.
Ross Tucker, hang on. Let's get
insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. The Bills lost.
Yeah, let's effortlessly pivot to that, Ross. I mean, I know you were obviously working this Washington Chicago game, but it was only a couple of short weeks ago that we were in here guessing about what the end of the season could look like if the Bills had a perfect record and would they rest starters rather than go for a perfect 17-0. And now they're looking up at New England, amongst others in the conference, but in the division even, they're looking up at New England. What's your feeling on the Bills after two tough ones here?
Well, a few thoughts. One of which is, you know, this is what we talked about a lot early in the year, you know, that they really could not afford to lose to teams that were inferior to them and hurt their positioning for their chance to get the number one seed, because that greatly increases their odds and likelihood of getting back to the Super Bowl. And yet, here we are. And the reality is, you know, the Patriots and Falcons are not top 10 teams. So, you know, it's a loss, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but these are not the games that they should be losing. You know, I think that's probably the thing that bothers me as much as any, is it's almost like who they're losing to, I think, is pretty concerning. And now they have even a much bigger issue, which is that they might end up being in the dogfight with New England. You know, it's gone from already not good that they may not be, you know, they might be blowing their chance to be the number one seed, which is not good, and we discussed that quite a bit. But now they might be in a dogfight to even win the division, and that's got to be something really tough to swallow for Bills fans to think, oh, my goodness, we might be back here already.
Do you have a take on which side of the ball might concern you more? Like, their offense is mostly healthy, but we're always talking about weapons and getting open, and the Bills still seem to have those challenges. And, you know, defensively, though, I mean, 200-plus yards on the ground, that's happened already once before this year. And I think it's pretty stunning, Russ, that Atlanta basically went to two guys, London and Robinson, and they're both great, but the Bills really couldn't do anything with them. They've got injuries too. Which side of the ball would concern you more?
Well, I would say the defense. Now, I know that they've had injuries, and you know, now you got Daquan Jones getting hurt pregame warmups, and we've talked the last couple weeks about them getting Hoyt and Ogunjobi back. I think what bothers me, you know, when I was in New England, and it wasn't that long, but they did an unbelievable job of taking away what made the other team tick, what made the other team, you know, what the other team did best.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick would tell you in the Wednesday morning meeting, this is the key. And it wasn't just like, hey, this good player. It would be Jimmy Smith on crossing routes on third down. It would be pretty specific. And to go back-to-back weeks where you let first Stephon Diggs in his return to Buffalo, and then Bijan Robinson and Drake London be the guys that get you, that is troubling to me. And I know, listen, the Falcons, the Patriots, they're trying to scheme things up for these guys. They're trying to get them in position to have success. I recognize that. You know, it's easier said than done sometimes. But they're not just giving up some plays. They're getting torched by the other team's best players. Torched. And I know that one of the reasons why the Bills have had a lot of success, and I've talked with opposing coaches about this, is because they have a defensive system that they believe in, and they don't do a whole lot. They stick with it. They're good at it, and people respect that about them, that they have success with it. Hey, this is what we do. We play a lot of zone. We do this. But when you're doing that, you better be really good at it, because you're not really making it that complicated for your opponent. We saw that on third down against the Dolphins in that game. It just feels like with who they have right now, they might not be good enough to just play Bills defense, you know, Sean McDermott defense. They might need to get a little bit more creative to try to change up the picture for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you should have, I would think, within your structure, a plan for a team that is utilizing only one wide receiver all night. And he's great, but, like, find a way to bracket that up or just get more bodies on it, because a lot of those throws, like Mike asked me, I've been pretty high on Michael Penix Jr. since he even before he got drafted, even before he was at Washington. I liked him at Indiana before he had all the knee problems. Mike asked me first thing, do you think he played well? Like, I don't know. He had a bunch of easy throws. Like, Drake London often was kind of by himself, and that is just not. You know, it'd be one thing if he's, like, pinpoint dropping dimes and the guy's winning contested catches and all this. That just looked pretty much like, go to the open grass and I'll find you.
I think that's well said. I think people have a really good feel for how the Bills defend them. And they've done a nice job of putting the Bills defenders in conflict. Now, a lot of times the value of doing the same thing so often is that the Bills defenders know when they're in conflict, right? They know what the stresses are in certain calls, and so they can play to that. But, you know, even the Saints move the ball. You know, I mean, I just it's really such a wild sport, because you guys know I live outside of Philadelphia and I do a lot of stuff in Philadelphia. Eagles are kind of in the same place where I think the Eagles are like 26th in the NFL in rushing offense and rushing defense. They were first in both last year. First. And now they're 26th, and it's mainly the same guys. I mean, it's just a fascinating, fascinating sport, because it never is the same season. It never is. Every week is different. And so you're gaining some guys, you're losing some guys. You come up with a plan for that week. They come up with a plan for that week. And what's concerning is that you would have liked to have seen the growing pains in September as opposed to October. But the reality is it is, you know, the way you play in November and December that really matters. So there's time to figure it out, but they better do it pretty soon. Otherwise, you know, they're going to have a much, much tougher road to go in the playoffs.
Probably a good time for the bye week then. They've got that this week, and maybe it's just right on time for them to regroup.
Well, and we talked about it before, but with getting those D linemen back, they'll be able to – those guys should have some very fresh legs. They should be able to come at teams in waves. Now up front, which is where they haven't done enough. One of the places where they haven't done enough. Ed Oliver gets back to health. You know, if you have three new defensive linemen that are making plays, that certainly can go a long way.
It is really hard to ignore that the Bills sort of stumbling here is coinciding with Kansas City getting on their feet and starting to, if not sprint, at least run here. They've looked sort of like the Chiefs of old here the last few weeks.
Well, they have, and now they're getting their best offensive weapon, Rashee Rice, back, which would make it even more concerning. And I was surprised by this. You guys know I have that really popular betting podcast called the Even Money Betting Podcast. And my co-host, who's, you know, a professional handicapper, and he, you know, he does it based on the numbers. He has the Chiefs as his number one team in the NFL. So I don't care that they're 3-3. I think they're the number one rated team in the league right now. So that was a little bit surprising. I mean, but their top three, I think, for me, and my number one ranked team is Indianapolis Colts. I mean, the Colts are 5-1. They've absolutely destroyed three teams. They beat a couple others. and their one loss at the Rams, you know, they fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line going in. You know, the guy dropped the ball, and then he had a holding penalty and another touchdown. You know, so there's other teams out there this year. You know, it's maybe the Ravens have taken a step back, but now you have other teams like the Colts taking a big step forward.
Right on. Thank you, Ross. Always a pleasure.
Sounds great. Talk to you guys next week.
All right. There's Ross Tucker. His weekly visit with us, insider call, actually, is what we call them, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side.
I mean, there were many times when I wanted to tweet about the press box.
Many times.
Because I would talk about the Sabres food, which I hear has gotten a lot better. I know it's gotten a lot better. But I felt empowered to do it because I was a paying customer.
Sure, like the Sabres food tickets. You were buying at a concession stand, yes. Not just being given it because you have a press credential.
But I do think philosophically, and I know also it sounds, Ross probably gets this about his food stuff, like how much of an elitist are you if you're complaining about like the free food isn't good enough at games? Who do you think you are? But, you know, there's still, he said at one point there how it does leave you with an impression about the organization. That's totally right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ever went on the road, you would be like, oh my God, this is big time. And then you come home, be like, oh, wings and rigatoni. Does it have to be like this? So it's better now. I haven't been up there in a few years at this point, but everybody says, and Ross has even tweeted, like, he comes to Buffalo and has commented positively on the press box food. But remember those days where we would bet, we would draft guesses on what would it be?
Mystery green bean something.
The green bean rule. Remember the green bean rule?
Green beans and some sort of gray sauce. Oh, like, what is going on here?
I mean, just make it good.
Yeah.
That's it. You're worth $10 billion. Make it good. That's it. It's probably good now. It sounds like it's good now. Maybe not in Washington.
Didn't look good in Washington last night, no.
And I love that Ross even mentioned that the sushi, they took from the suite.
Right.
Like there was an open suite, and has the sushi been sitting there for an hour? What even is that? Did he tweet the sushi? I don't think he did.
That was a picture of the sushi.
Oh, he did?
He followed up.
Okay,
the,
good.
The,
That's yeah. fair. That's yeah. good. That's good. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I went in as we started the conversation and retweeted the rundown of the buffet line, and then that was tagged with a tweet showing the platter of sushi that showed up in the booth.
Wow. It was so funny. The empty trays. We have hot dogs, empty. We have macaroni. It's like an 8-year-old's birthday party.
Yep, yep.
The Bills menu, there are words in it you've never said. There are a couple of words to describe food items on the Bills press box menu that you've never actually said out loud in life because they're just sort of like foofy, foodie words. Hot dogs. Anyway, enough. Bills lose to the Falcons last night. What? How bad is it? Mike Schopen and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Sal next. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, there's injury news, and we'll talk about it with Sal here in a moment, but it's also a bye week. So for a lot of this, I think it mostly can wait. That's Bernard. That's I mean, Oliver's back. That might be Milano.
Milano, Kincaid, Samuel, Bernard, Kincaid. All day today, is what McDermott said within the hour here. Palmer and Daquan Jones, both week to week. They were both hurt last night. Jones, during warm-ups.
That was a blow.
Popped his calf, is how McDermott termed it after the game, and Palmer got hurt on his second reception of the game. Was there a flag on that for a hip drop tackle? Because he got hip drop tackled there. I thought
there's never been a flag for a hip drop tackle. There's only fines.
Oh,
have you ever seen a flag thrown?
I feel like yes, but I might be confusing that with horse collar.
Okay, I don't think I've ever seen a flag for it. Yeah. It's always just like the next day, and there's replays, and maybe there's a fine. Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. Well, Sal, some night in Atlanta, you know, maybe starting with Daquan Jones after you got done with us. Mm-hmm. We had that injury. I saw it first from you. And, like, I don't know, I'm not a big believer in sort of, like, tone-setting stuff, but that wasn't great to hear.
No, not at all. And when you're already only at four defensive tackles, they had three, and they elevated Jordan Phillips. Now you're going to – you have only a four, and then you lose one. You're back down to three, and one of them is a guy who hasn't played in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, right? I mean, like, at Oliver, what's his conditioning level? You're not expecting him to go out there and, you know, play 80% of the snaps, and now suddenly you have to have all those guys, you know, play so much. And I'm sure by the end of the game, you know, that's tiring and taxing on you. So that was one. He's week to week, as McDermott just said to us on our Zoom call. He's week to week. Excuse me, Daquan Jones. With the calf, he was in a boot after the game. We saw him. Josh Palmer. So I just heard your conversation. I thought it was hip drop as well. The guys this morning said it wasn't. I went back and looked. It doesn't look like it's hip drop because he pulled him down as he's on the ground. Like the guy, the tackler is kind of on the ground and pulls him down. I thought it was hip drop as well. But you're right, Mike. They don't actually throw a flag for that anymore. It's all it is you get fined later. But it did look like it in real time to me. I'll say that.
Palmer goes up for that ball. It'd be a tough penalty. You know, he's jumping to catch it. He sort of stops and jumps to catch it. Well, you know, it's low on the list today, isn't it? Just what happened on that play. Sal, what went wrong in this game? It wasn't one of these games where, like even last week, I think you could say, well, but for this and this, you know, this bounce or this call, you get there. I mean, this was not a game. I mean, the Bills were just never the better team in this game, I want to say.
They weren't. What went wrong was, again, the same thing that went wrong in the Patriots in a different way. Details. I mean, I think if you don't line up offsides in the first play of the game, it's a totally different game. I really do. I mean, like, this is a basic part of football that, you should know. Lining up right. Lining up on sides. Sean McDermott said this after the game, and he's right. I mean, you learn this when you're a young kid playing in Pop Warner, and, you know, people want to blame coaches or whatever. Like, they go over this stuff. They do this stuff in practice. So, yeah, I that's number one. Details, lining up offsides on Ed Oliver when they have a 5-yard stop or in the backfield, whatever it was, 3-4-yard stop. Should have been second and 13. Instead, it's first and 5 because on offsides, there goes Bijan Robinson. You made it easier on them to basically do, run that type of play and just kind of, and then he runs 81 yards.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all those things matter.
Right. Maybe, if it's second and 13, maybe that's a pass play.
100%.
You know, who knows? And maybe you get them again or whatever. Like you might have them on their heels. You know, the lining offsides thing, like, I don't know if I've ever heard a guy talk about how it happens to them because it doesn't really make that much sense to me that you could ever really do it. Like, I understand that it's his head, right, that's in the neutral zone, right? But if you're a defensive lineman, you're looking at the ball, aren't you, to see when it's going to be snapped? So how do you not recognize that you're – too far? Like if Greg Rousseau, in other words, is looking to his right, can he tell from the angle, like, oh, I'm a half a foot or 2 inches or whatever too far ahead?
Yes, you're supposed to. It's the same thing the wide receiver in the Chiefs game a couple of years ago, right?
Right.
I mean, sometimes you're so far away from the ball. Sometimes he's not as far away in that sense. But yes, I'm not making an excuse here. You're 100% right, but sometimes when you line up, you don't realize there's also a crown on the field, right? That could kind of mess with you a little bit. You know, just kind of the angle you're on. Maybe you're on an angle where you're trying to get to the quarterback as an offensive end, as a pass rusher. You know, and then I think Ed Oliver was, he jumped. Ed Oliver actually left a little early and was in the neutral zone.
Right, that's
his particular play.
Right.
And the same thing, but, you know, watch the ball. The ball's right in front of you if you're Ed Oliver, right? Watch the ball. So anyway, that's number one. The other thing was, I mean, they just did not have answers for all the pressure. And look, we talked about this before the game about being familiar with the opponent. And I said, well, they have coaches. Jeff Ulbrich had a game plan. He had a game plan. He had a real good game plan to dial up exotic pressures on Josh Allen. They knew this team very well, and they just kept doing what they do best. They went after the Bills, and I think they said the Bills don't have answers to beat us if we come after them, and they didn't. And Josh has been so good against the blitz, but you got to get open early in the down, and they just don't have guys who are getting open early in the down. I also think losing Josh Palmer really hurt them in this game, guys. I mean, the Bills had a game plan for Josh Palmer. He had 60 yards before he was hurt, before the first half, and two catches. I thought he was a guy that they were really going to focus on, and that was going to be a big part of what they did. So, I mean, a lot went wrong, and then, of course, the first half defense was just abysmal again. Good job in the second half, really good, you know, doing it with, you know, duct tape and whatever. But, I mean, you know, putting it together, but... That put them behind and they couldn't recover. I point more towards, though, you have the ball three times in the second half, down one score with Josh Allen as your quarterback, and you can't score, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, these were like three and outs usually, too, throughout the night when they...
Except for the other one that was the end around to Elijah Moore, right?
The
turnover. That was the fumble. That's eight plays. Now, look, if he doesn't fumble, maybe you go for it on fourth down because he gets stopped right at the line. But because he fumbled... It goes backward. He gets stopped. I think that's how it went either way. But if he doesn't lose yardage, at least, you know, maybe. But my issue is, I'm sure with everybody else, you have Josh Allen and you have James Cook. Run the ball forward twice, and you're getting a first down.
Maybe next game.
They have really been, I think, spooked since the championship game about the sneak. Like, they missed a couple of times in that game. One, of course, you know, very notable near the end that a lot of people will still tell you they had, but the, you know, the spot was bad or whatever. But I remember as that game was unfolding, the first time they got stuffed, I thought, I wonder if they're going to get scared off of this play. And they did. They kept trying it, but it didn't work ultimately. And now it just feels like maybe they're trying to find something else that they can fold in here, or at least maybe, Sal, right, run this end-around play, at least give teams, Philadelphia did this a couple weeks ago, give them something else to think about on this, and then maybe we can go back to the safe, easy, you know, version of the tush-push.
Yeah, and look, he wasn't defending, and I'm not defending the call, but Eric Wood made a good point in the broadcast when he said, the advantage when you do something like that is when you line up as a tush push, of course, you're bringing so many defenders into the box. You're bringing so many defenders from tackle to tackle. So if you can execute that play, he could be out the gate and he's gone. I mean, he has a big play. And that's what they're trying to do there. And I get that. I just think that, you know, why outsmart? It feels to me like the Bills are trying to outsmart themselves on offense sometimes. And you don't need to do that. You know, just do what works. And it was working with James Cook. James Cook had a great start to the second half. And, you know, just hand him the ball and go forward. Or you don't even have to have Josh Allen do it. I think you were just running the ball well enough to do it.
Which game did Vandermark play? Because there was also a play in the game he played that was a short yardage play where he had to come from his, you know, from right to left. And if he gets there, I think that it ends up being a big gain. But he trips on Torrance. And like, so this is three games in a row where they've had some sort of mishap in a, I don't know, I'm going to settle for too cute of a play call in a short yardage situation.
Yep, that's right. And that was a counter type of handoff play. So Sean was asked about it again today on the Zoom call. He said, because he said last night, you know, that's what was his phrasing he used last night? We can be better than that or something like that. So he was asked to follow up on that today. And his quote to us was, you know, Joe's a great offensive coordinator and play caller, but you go through a game and there are always plays you want back. He knows how I feel about it. We talked about it again this morning. I remain confident in him putting us in good position.
How do you feel about the Bills' failure to cover Drake London last night, Sal? Like, was it different guys? Was there a strategic flaw in what they were doing? I mean, it's a little bit tough right now because questions abound about the Bills receivers and how good they are at getting open. Brady had a comment last week about like just how something to the effect of how rarely does anybody really separate. I'm not sure that
in
that's,
the league, right? Yeah,
that's exactly it. But yeah, and then London had an amazing night.
It was literally the when you're in the backyard, or I should say out in the street, and you're like, go to the fire hydrant and turn around. And like you do that and just nobody's home and you just throw it to him, right? I mean, that's what he did. He just went to the fire hydrant and turned around, and there was nobody there. And the Bills are playing zone defense, zone coverage, and he's just finding zones. He's in the slot. And when you're in the slot and you're closer to the middle of the field, now he didn't play slot every play, I'm sure, but it's easier to find zones because things spread out in the middle of the field. You have more seams. You can do that. And they knew where the Bills would kind of be and what they wanted to do. And he's just like, okay, I'm just going to go there. And they made things so easy on their quarterback. You know, Sean made a comment last night, which he's right. We made things too hard on their quarterback. Well, the Falcons made things easy on their quarterback.
Right.
I mean, Michael Penix didn't have to do much in this game. He had decent numbers. They were okay. 20-32, 250 is nice yardage. But, I mean, I don't even know what his ADOT was. He didn't throw the ball downfield a couple times, and usually they didn't hit it when they threw it downfield, to be honest with you. There were a couple that were mid-level passes, but it was, okay, Drake, just run 10 steps and turn around, and I'll find you because it's zone defense. And, I mean, once the Bills started to play a little more man-to-man, they were tighter in coverage. That was great. That was working for them a little bit better. That was a nice adjustment they made in the second half. But I don't get it. You guys talked about it before. I saw that when I looked at the box score box score after the game, I'm looking at it right now, 10, first of all, 16.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Targets for Drake London, 16 targets.
Half
that tells
the team
you what
total.
They were, what yeah, right, what they were thinking about. You know, Drake London in this game, he had 10 catches. Outside of that, zero catches for any wide receiver. Think about that. They had one receiver have 10 catches. No other receiver caught a pass for them in this game.
Yeah, they play without Mooney. They scratch Ray McLeod. It's almost like they thought we're not going to need any other receivers.
Casey Washington had two targets,
two empty targets.
Right, no catches.
Right.
Is there a Hairston update?
There is. Sean said there is a chance they will open his practice window in the coming week. So I'm guessing that would be next week because they're not going to practice this week. They have a bye week. So that would give them 21 full days next week to be on the field starting next week. And then you're looking at what, week 7, or so week 8, 9, 10. So week 10 would be the comeback, I guess, for him to be on the active roster. So we'll see about that. Didn't hear anything on Tyler Bass. Unfortunately, didn't get to that. And we heard the Hairston, and then I thought about it later. Didn't know anything about Bass. He didn't say anything about Bass, but on Hairston, he did say there's a chance there. And we all know that Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are coming back as of today, by the way. Now, I don't think they have to be put on the active roster today. They might, but it won't matter, guys. They have 51, so they'll just put two guys. Whenever it happens this week or next week, whatever the operation is of the league and how you have to do these things, that's not going to matter because they have two open roster spots.
Okay, so they're going to get away here. When does that start? Are they there tomorrow or is it over?
Well, there's nothing for the media. That was today. So I don't know what their exact schedule is of their meetings and workouts and things like that. But generally on the bye week, the players are here through like Wednesday, and they'll do some different stuff in the facility with the coaches, and you know, and then they'll get away as the week goes on. And then CBA, what, like in the CBA, they have to have like think 4 days consecutive off. So that's usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Thanks for this. If you want to talk tomorrow, I'd be up for it. I know you're going to get away too at the end of the week, but tomorrow's yours if you want it.
Okay. You got it. Thanks.
All right, that's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Yeah, what is your outlet at this point?
Liquor.
In this case.
It works out pretty well.
How about hockey?
It works out pretty well for this sponsorship. Well, the Sabres have got, I think, six games before the Bills play again. So, you know, that'll be welcomed.
Six chances to maybe get ahead in a game.
Right.
For the first time.
Have a lead. Hang a banner.
All right. We're ready for you. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.